I stared up at the magazine cut out of a Maxim model that was crudely pasted on the underside of the top bunk. Her perky breasts shimmied ever so slightly as Pete tossed and turned above. She was platinum blonde with legs long enough to wrap around me twice, or so the camera angle made it seem. I felt a stirring below, that yearning for a woman's touch, which I hadn't felt in 6 years, 3 months, and 11 days. I rolled to my side, stifling it. It was the wrong time to seek out an orgasm, and I knew after the release, I'd just spiral into self-loathing anyway. I focused on a crack in the cinder block until my eyelids became heavy. Static pushed the thought of women from my mind as I slipped into sleep. The smell of cigars and oil flitted through my mind in a memory. My dad's repair shop, the one I was meant to take over before the arrest. A cry echoing from somewhere deep within the prison startled me awake. My heart thundered in my chest like a rabbit thrashing against its cage. I rolled over to see Pete crouching low, his face pressed against the bars.
"What's going on?"
I croaked.
"They're taking Benny,"
he whispered.
"Fuck, really?"
I pulled myself to the top corner of my mattress, just enough to peer around the edge of the bars. Two guards wrestled the young Latino onto a gurney as a man in a lab coat watched from a distance. He fought against them, but it was futile. Once the straps were locked in, he screamed once more, pleading for help. Dozens of eyes watched from dim-lit cells, none of which were offering assistance in the slightest. We knew there was no helping him. We knew what happened next. His cries were muffled as the doctor jammed a syringe into the base of his neck. Benny's muscles tensed and pulsed in the fit of a seizure, but then lay still. The cell block was silent once more as they wheeled him down the hall and into the catacombs. I did a cross over myself, but didn't bother to pray. Once they took them, they never came back.
"A damn shame,"
I muttered.
"Yeah, he was a good kid."
Pete stood and leapt back onto the top bunk. A fire burned in my chest. I wanted to say something, to cry out about the injustice of what was happening to us. That committing a crime shouldn't damn a man to whatever terrible fate they had in store for us below 3 feet of steel and a quarter mile of dirt. But I didn't. What good could it do, other than drawing attention to me in a very negative way? Once they took you to the lab, you were never seen again. All you could do was hope that your number was never called, and that you got out of here before they visited your cell late into the night. 87, 88, 89, 90. My chest was on fire as sweat dripped from the tip of my nose. I couldn't go back to sleep last night. Kept thinking about Benny. 91, 92, 93. So began the push-ups. It was the only way to clear my head. 94, 95, 96, my therapy. 97, 98, 99, 100. I rolled to my back, out of breath. 3 years, 6 months and change. So much time left to go. Benny had only been here for a little over a year. It made no sense. None of us could figure out exactly why they took who they took. There seemed to be no method to the madness. Just a couple of weeks ago, they took old man Tom Finch. He'd been here longer than any of us. A lifer on the account of premeditated murder back in the 70s. But they didn't come for him until he served most of his adult life behind bars. The red beacon suddenly swirled above. A buzzing sound hummed as the cell doors clicked and slid open. Breakfast. I pulled my tray along the bar to be loaded with oats, powdered eggs, and bread. Meager rations. I grabbed a small carton of milk and made my way over to sit with Pete. He was already nibbling on his toast while perusing a crossword puzzle. We exchanged nods, and I went to devouring the entirety of my plate. Calories build muscle, after all, which was something Pete had no interest in. He was a bookworm through and through. Rail thin, too. When we'd met, I'd assumed it was from the drug problem he had on the outside, which ultimately landed him in incarceration. But come to find out, it was just his metabolism and general lack of appetite.
John,
he whispered. I looked up from my feast. He was looking to the corner of the cafeteria, and I followed his gaze to see two men in lab coats surveying the crowd. I grunted and squeezed the handle of my fork until my knuckles went white. The impulse of burying it into their throats was almost overwhelming.
Their activity has been ramping up.
What do you mean?
I've been seeing them much more frequently as of late. They must be close to a breakthrough.
Breakthrough of what?
I furrowed my brow.
Who knows? Whatever it is they are doing down there. They've been taking us more often as well.
Pete sighed at the twist of confusion on my face.
Think about it. Benny last night, then Tom 2 weeks before that, then Eric 10 days before that, and Deontay maybe 3 weeks prior. It's never been that close together. Until recently, they only came perhaps once every other month. Sometimes only once a season.
Shit, he was right. I hadn't realized it before.
So what does that mean?
I asked, shoving another hunk of egg into my mouth.
I have no idea, but I'd say our odds of survival have been reduced dramatically.
Pete might as well have been an oracle, peering into our grim and desolate future. Over the next several months, we started seeing the lab coats weekly, sometimes even more often than that. The prison yard felt empty. Sure, there were still plenty of us left, but our population had been noticeably trimmed. One gang in particular only had 2 members left, which didn't bode well for them. The others slowly circled them like sharks. I had no affiliation with any of them and kept to myself, but still, I could see their fate a mile away. Although, despite the business-as-usual dog-eat-dog atmosphere, there was an undercurrent of fear rippling through the general pop. You could smell it, like a scent of decay and desperation. Hard faces that had once promised violence now almost flinched around every corner and jumped at each shadow. The energy of a couple of 100 men that felt like an animal backed into a corner was palpable. But what could we do? I didn't know, but I sure wish someone would tell me. I threw myself into my workouts, and Pete hardly ever looked up from a book. Escapism was our only reprieve. I went to bed with a prayer on my lips, hoping I wouldn't hear those iron bars moving in the late hours of the night. A loud clanking followed by footsteps pulled me from sleep. I squeezed my eyes tightly shut, hoping it was the cell next to mine. But it wasn't. 3 guards hovered behind a fourth that was unlocking our cell. The bars clicked and began to slide open. I jumped to my feet and backed up against the wall. I pulled my fists up into a boxing stance. I wasn't going to go without a fight. My muscles tensed and flexed like coiled steel.
In the corner, inmate. We're here for your cellmate.
A short and stocky corrections officer barked with his hand gripping the baton at his waist. Pete squirmed into a ball at the corner of his mat and looked at me with wide, pleading eyes. I put my face in the opposite corner as instructed. A mixture of fear and relief roiled in my gut, and I hated myself for it. It made me feel like a coward.
No, 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 no!
I heard Pete squeal from behind as guards flooded the cell. I peeked over my shoulder and watched as they pried him from the top bunk. Pete tried to resist, but there was nothing to him, a bag of bones that they easily wrestled down. That same fire ignited in my chest. Anger washed over me, cleansing away the cowardice. For God's sake, he was my only friend. All I could see was red. I spun around, bringing the back of my fist across a guard's face, shattering the bridge of his nose. Blood spurted from it as he dropped Pete's legs. With a giant step forward, I brought an uppercut into the portly officer's abdomen, dropping him like a ton of bricks. I shoved a third into the corner, pinning him there as I screamed for Pete to run. He scampered out the opening, and the last thing I heard was his footfalls as a baton smashed across the back of my skull. Everything went black before I even hit the ground. I spent a month in solitary. The room was so small it should have been inhumane to house a human being inside of it. Still, I made the best of it with dips, push-ups, and sit-ups. Countless reps of them. It was all I could do. Some mornings I'd wake up with horrible migraines. I assumed it was a slight concussion from the impact of the baton. I only hoped Pete could have somehow made it out. But somewhere deep down, I knew that would have been impossible. Hopefully he at least gave them some hell before they took him below. I stopped praying before bed. It didn't seem like it did any good. If there was a God, he didn't exist inside these walls. We were abandoned. The unheard. When I finally got back to my cell, it had been emptied of everything. Pete's books, artwork from his niece, and even my Maxim cutout. Just like he'd never existed. My heart sunk at the sight. Later that day, I learned from others that he had been captured just moments after escaping the cell. But our actions weren't wasted in vain. We were the first to fight back against the abduction, and it sparked something in the others. They started talks of an uprising a few weeks back, a prison riot. They even had a guard on the inside, C.O. Matthews. He was a very religious man and was just as horrified by what was happening as we were and had been looking for a way to help.
It's going down tonight, John, just before lights out. Be ready,
Jerry whispered at the picnic table. I gave a nod that I understood and headed off for my daily jog around the courts. It wasn't about getting out or getting free. That wasn't going to happen. It was about sending a message. I let my mind go blank, filling with static as I enjoyed what could be my last day outside. The beacon swirled overhead in the common area.
Inmates to their cells, lights out.
The intercom buzzed. There were over 50 men in cell block B, and not a single one of us moved. The voice on the intercom repeated himself angrily as guards began to shuffle in closer. Nods passed, like dominoes from one inmate to the next. We were ready.
Get to your cell, inmate.
A guard growled as he clamped his hands down on my shoulders. I threw an elbow behind me into his groin. He howled in pain as he hit the floor. The other inmates sprung to their feet and flew off from their leaning places to join in the brawl. Fists, feet, and batons flew wildly across the cell block as we engaged in war with the uniformed officers. I grappled with one until I was able to submit him in a choke until he went limp in my arms. I stomped another in the face, spilling blood and brains on the concrete floor. It had looked like we were winning until they sent the special response team in. We formed a line, many of us battered and bloody, in front of the row of riot shields. We waited for their charge for what felt like an eternity. But suddenly they backed out from where they'd come and slid the cell block doors closed. What the hell? The red beacon swirled once again overhead as a clicking sounded out behind us. The rear entrance that the lab coats had always used swung open. I spun around to see.
Mary, Mother of God!
I gasped. It was Pete. But there was something horribly wrong with him. His skin clung loosely to his body and had a terrible jaundice-looking hue to it. His eyes almost seemed to glow, and his hands, they were impossibly large, like contorted branches. I held my hand up to my mouth in disbelief. A scientist stepped out from behind him.
As you can see, we have a few kinks left to iron out, but we are making great progress. Would you all care to see what he can do?
He looked into each of our eyes inquisitively.
If you don't, head back to your cells now. You have 10 seconds, and then I shall release him.
It was so silent you could hear a pin drop, but a violent and hungry energy filled the room, emanating from what used to be my friend. Suddenly, over half the remaining inmates bolted for their cells out of fear. Not that I could blame them. My knees wobbled and threatened to buckle just at the sight of him. But I stood my ground, as did a handful of others.
Very well then. Specimen 310, engage.
A growl reverberated through the cell block.
Everyone rush at him at once! It's our only shot!
I hollered, and we did, but it didn't matter. It happened so fast. It was over before I could even comprehend it. He moved like an animal, picking each of us apart almost in unison. I lay on my back, unable to feel my legs as I watched Jerry be disemboweled. He was trying to shove his intestines back inside the tear in his abdomen before the creature came back to finish him off. I did a cross over myself, but didn't bother to pray. As Pete stood over me, with dead eyes, I knew there was no God. He didn't exist inside these walls. We were abandoned, the unheard.